Hi, Patrick here. And as I speak, there's action at the United Nations. It's the day of big speeches from two leaders of countries that have been at loggerheads for decades, the United States and Iran. In the run-up to the UN General Assembly, both sides have been engaging in a round of flirting, diplomatic flirting. There's even talk that Presidents Obama and Rouhani might meet. The Iranian delegation has said there's no such meeting, quote, on the agenda. But that doesn't mean to say it won't happen. And even if it doesn't, diplomats from the countries may meet. And who knows what'll happen from there? Here's a report that I did for The Big Show on the language and gestures that can make such meetings successful. Relations between the US and Iran have been so bad for so long that there may now be an understandable urge to make up for lost time and get right down to business. Not a good idea, says veteran British diplomat Sherrod Cooper Coles.
Handling any meeting with the Iranians after a period of deep chill is, first of all, to avoid the temptation for Westerners to cut straight to the chase. It's very important to spend time on what are much more than opening courtesies.
We in the West may think of them as courtesies, but they can make all the difference, says Cooper Coles. It would be important to display a knowledge of Iranian history and civilization, but watch out for the little gaffes.
Like calling the Gulf the Arabian Gulf.
It's also not a good idea to overpraise, especially in public. In 1977, then-President Jimmy Carter went to Tehran. At a dinner with the leader of Iran, the Shah, Carter raised a glass to his host and then raised his rhetorical glass even higher.
Iran, because of the great leadership of the Shah, is an island of stability in one of the more troubled areas of the world. This is a great tribute to you, Your Majesty, and to the respect and the admiration and love which your people give to you.
A few days later, street protests began in Iran, leading eventually to the revolution and decades of enmity with the United States. There are, though, plenty of skillful ways to send a message in a diplomatic setting.
I remember in the White House in 93, we'd agreed to have Yasser Arafat come to the White House.
This is Nancy Soderbergh, a diplomat with the Clinton administration. For Arafat, it was a big coup to get himself invited to the president's home. But there were limits. He wasn't allowed to bring his pistol, which he took everywhere with him. And then there was the hugging. Yasser Arafat was a big hugger, and it just wouldn't do to have him photographed hugging the President of the United States.
Right before the meeting, President Clinton's getting taught by his aides this jiu-jitsu move where if you grabbed Arafat's elbow, pushed your hip out, there was no way he could hug him. And that's exactly what Clinton did to avoid a picture being hugged.
Arafat eventually did get his man 7 years later. He and Clinton were finally captured, locked in embrace, but on neutral territory, Switzerland. Not that you'd expect quite such warm body language between Obama and Rouhani this week. One step at a time. For the world, I'm Patrick Cox.